Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with a CBS World News Roundup. The Tunisian government news agency said today that the Arab heads of state at their summit conference in Fez, Morocco, have unanimously agreed on a new peace plan for the Middle East, based, the report says, on Saudi Arabian and Tunisian suggestions. And the United Arab Emirates news agency, also reporting from Fez, says the plan incorporates President Reagan's proposals for a solution of the Palestinian problem. These reports are not yet official. The Israeli parliament today debated and approved Israel's war in Lebanon. Later today, it takes up President Reagan's peace initiative, which Prime Minister Menachem Begin and the Israeli cabinet have already rejected. Bob Faure reports that Israel's hardline defense minister, Ariel Sharon, dominated the debate on the war.
Kicking off the debate, Defense Chief Sharon dismissed evidence of widespread destruction in Beirut by insisting that Israeli bombing had destroyed only 40 or 50 buildings there. He also said that if Lebanon doesn't sign a peace treaty with Israel, Israel will insist upon a security zone running 28 miles north of its Lebanese border. Speaking for the opposition, a former chief of staff criticized the government for being hung up on a formal treaty, and Haim Barlev also criticized Sharon for using too much force and going too far. Israel's problems began, he said, when it went beyond its original goal. Despite occasional heckling, Begin scoffed at the criticism and defended the war by arguing that it has brought genuine peace to northern Israel. He also said the fighting in Beirut had persisted only because the PLO had refused to leave. Then, by a comfortable margin, the Knesset supported Begin's position. It was a subdued performance by the prime minister, but this afternoon, when the Knesset debates President Reagan's Middle East initiative, the prime minister is expected to be considerably more outspoken, explaining why he thinks the proposals will lead to a Palestinian state and why, in his opinion, the proposals amount to stabbing Israel in the back. Bob Faure, CBS News, Jerusalem.
This is John Ferrugia at the White House. After vacationing at his ranch in California, the president returned to Washington to face a number of problems that just won't go away. Topping the list, as it has for months, is the Middle East. The first order of business upon his return here was to give the Medal of Freedom to Special U.S. Envoy Philip Habib for his work in stopping the fighting in Beirut. But as the president noted, the agreement Habib worked out is only the first step in the overall process of bringing a permanent peace to the region. Israel has flatly rejected the president's latest proposal for a comprehensive settlement. Egypt has said it needs further study. The next U.S. move will likely be discussed today when the President, Habib, and Secretary of State George Shultz meet to discuss the issues. Habib is expected to continue in some role with the peace process. John Ferrugia, CBS News, the White House.
Lebanon's Prime Minister Chefik Wazan says today in a newspaper interview that the multinational peacekeeping force should remain there beyond its mandate if necessary to ensure the withdrawal of Israeli troops from Beirut. The force is made up of American, French, and Italian troops. Neither I nor any other official, Wazan is quoted as saying, would approve their departure before they achieve that. All three governments reportedly have told Lebanon that they want the troops to leave at the end of the original mandate, scheduled to expire late this month. This is the third day of the armed occupation of the Polish embassy in Bern. Doug Sefton reports from the Swiss capital.
The crisis is far from over, but authorities understandably are breathing a little easier today. Through 10 separate telephone contacts with the gunmen, members of the government's special task force have won release of 5 more hostages overnight. The last 3 women remaining in the building were freed, along with a male employee with heart trouble and a student who'd been in the embassy on business. By official count, that leaves 5 hostages in custody, having added the Polish military attaché whose presence in the building was discovered by the gunmen yesterday. A government spokesman insisted that no concessions were granted to gunmen in exchange for the hostage release, but would not say whether any conditions were required. There is evidence authorities are not absolutely forthcoming in what they reveal. For reasons of their own, for instance, they say only that more than 2 gunmen are involved in the embassy takeover. Doug Sefton, CBS News, Bern, Switzerland.
Poland's military government has offered to send a special team to Bern to help free the hostages. The Swiss cabinet is considering that offer today, but a justice ministry spokesman says an armed unit will not be allowed into Switzerland. Obviously, the Swiss are going to handle this largely by themselves. George Wallace placed first in yesterday's Democratic gubernatorial primary in Alabama, but he didn't place far enough ahead to win the nomination. Bruce Hall has details in Montgomery.
In a stunning reversal of past voting practices, Former segregationist George Wallace rolled into first place on the basis of a heavy black vote. However, the 63-year-old former governor and presidential candidate did not get enough votes in the five-way race to avoid a runoff. Early this morning, he told his cheering supporters he expected a runoff.
I always knew that in any contested race, there's always a runoff. I have never won the governor's race before without a runoff, except the one time when I really had no opposition. So I feel very good tonight.
His opponent in 3 weeks will be Lieutenant Governor George McMillan, a political moderate who had the backing of most of the state's black leaders. But an early analysis shows that Wallace won many of the predominantly black counties, along with several black precincts in the urban areas. With a slight erosion in his white support, Wallace needed the black vote in order to lead the ticket. But the vote was surprising because in the 60s, Wallace was one of the leading spokesmen for racial segregation. Bruce Hall, CBS News, Montgomery, Alabama.
Whichever man wins the runoff, Wallace or McMillan, will face Montgomery Mayor Emery Fulmar. He won the Republican gubernatorial nomination without opposition. Former President Richard Nixon is now in Peking, marking the 10th anniversary of the visit that led to the opening of diplomatic relations between China and the United States. The story from Bruce Dunning.
It's a warm but low-key welcome the former president is receiving from Chinese leaders. Though Mr. Nixon is considered an old friend by China, the reception is quiet because the Taiwan arms sale issue still complicates the U.S.-China relationship. Nonetheless, Mr. Nixon said after meeting retiring party vice chairman Deng Xiaoping that the recent agreement on the arms sale issue will allow what he called a great leap forward in U.S.-China relations over the next decade.
The Taiwan issue, let us understand, has not been completely settled. It will be raised again every time any further sales are made to Taiwan, even though those sales will be within the context of the communique. But on the other hand, rather than being on the front burner, it's now on the back burner.
Mr. Nixon said he and the Chinese leaders discussed a wide range of bilateral and global topics. And he said he would pass on China's views as expressed to him to high administration officials. Bruce Dunning, CBS News, Peking.
Vice Chairman Deng today noted that Mr. Nixon, the late Chairman Mao Zedong, and the late Premier Zhou Enlai opened up the new relationship between Peking and Washington, and he said he was sure the American and Chinese peoples would not forget. About one-fifth of the Internal Revenue Service workforce might have been off the job this morning, but it isn't. Jacqueline Adams explains what led up to the switch.
Yesterday morning, 19,000 IRS workers, tax collectors and criminal investigators mostly, thought that by this morning they'd be out of work. The reason President Reagan last month vetoed the $14.1 billion supplemental appropriations bill that contained funds for their wages for the remainder of this fiscal year. After a day of intense administration arm-twisting, however, the chairman of the House and Senate Appropriations Committees late yesterday agreed to juggle the Treasury Department's books to keep the tax collectors collecting until next Wednesday at least. That arm-twisting is expected to continue today, with the president summoning to the White House a number of key congressmen. The president's advisors are said to be fairly optimistic that Congress will not be able to override his veto. And if that's true, the Democrats in the House may later today decide they won't even try. With the president's veto, the lawmakers will have to go back to square one, redrafting a supplemental bill that the president will sign, but they have a deadline. Unless the Congress can devise a new funding bill by next Tuesday or Wednesday, IRS workers out on the streets will be joined by over 2 million employees of the Pentagon, the Education, Justice, Health, and Human Services departments. Jacqueline Adams, CBS News, Washington.
The government of Mexico says that beginning today, it's going to crack down on Americans taking advantage of the devalued peso to buy food at bargain prices across the border. Some of the groceries they buy there will be confiscated at border crossing points. Mexican businessmen claim that some American shoppers have been buying up basic foodstuffs for resale in the U.S. Gold prices slipped back today overseas. The price was fixed in London at $469 an ounce, down more than 13. For a short while yesterday, gold was trading over 500. The dollar gained a bit today against the major foreign currencies.
CBS News, I'm Richard C. Hottling. Prime Minister Menachem Begin has just told Israel's parliament that Israeli planes have destroyed a newly installed anti-aircraft missile battery in Lebanon. He gave no further details, but warned Syria against moving any additional missiles into eastern Lebanon, which is still under Syrian control. Begin spoke after winning a Knesset vote of confidence, endorsing the invasion of Lebanon and turning back a Labor Party challenge, calling for speedy Israeli withdrawal from Lebanon and condemning the bombing of Beirut. Begin was opening a debate on President Reagan's Middle East peace initiative. The Arab summit meeting in Fez, Morocco, is drawing to a close, and an official announcement is expected soon. Western correspondents do not have access to the conference site, but several official Arab news agencies report unanimous agreement on a plan for Middle East peace. This would be the first time that Arab leaders have taken any such position, and observers in Washington say it seems too good to be true. The Tunisian news agency says the plan is based on proposals put forward by Tunisia and Saudi Arabia, the essence of which is accepting Israel's existence as an independent state. The Saudi press agency says the Arab plan also draws on U.S. peace proposals. Last week, President Reagan called for Palestinian autonomy in the West Bank and Gaza in association with Jordan. Other reports from Fez also not confirmed that Yasser Arafat, chairman of the PLO, urged the Arab leaders to adopt a conciliatory attitude toward President Reagan's Middle East plan, and that President Hafez al-Assad of Syria, who has led the opposition to peace with Israel, asked the summit to cancel the mandate under which 25,000 Syrian troops have been stationed in Lebanon for the past 6 years, something which would permit them to be withdrawn without loss of face. More after this.
During National True Test Fall Paint Week at True Value Hardware Stores, you'll find great values on Woodsman stains and preservatives. Hi, Pat Summerall to say Woodsman Solid Color Latex Stain, now just $9.98 a gallon, adds color yet reveals the texture of rough-cut wood and comes in 32 colors in white. Or choose semi-transparent oil stain and wood preservative in 32 colors. It's just $10.98 a gallon now until September the 12th, exclusively at participating True Value hardware stores and home centers.
Congress is straggling back after the Labor Day recess, and today is President Reagan's first day on the job after his vacation. And the two and their problems are quickly getting together. John Ferrugia reports.
Fresh from a vacation on his California ranch, the president is wasting no time getting back into the major issues of the day, the Middle East and domestic economics. Special Envoy Philip Habib, who received the Medal of Freedom yesterday for his negotiating prowess in the Middle East, will meet with the president today to discuss his role in the peace process. A White House spokesman says Habib is ready to get back to the Middle East if the president thinks it's necessary, and in today's meeting, the two will discuss what the next U.S. move should be. On the domestic front, it's back to some presidential lobbying. Mr. Reagan will bring about 20 congressmen into the Oval Office today to enlist their support on the balanced budget amendment. At the same time, he will ask them not to override his recent veto of a $14 billion appropriations bill. The president calls it a budget buster, and that has enraged Capitol Hill friends and foes alike. The vote on the veto comes up tomorrow in the House, and the White House says it's too close to call. John Ferrugia, CBS News, the White House.
CBS News, this is Judy Muller. Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin has left no room for doubt about Israel's rejection of President Reagan's peace plan and has announced new military action by Israel against Syrian missile batteries in Lebanon. Dan Raviv reports.
Prime Minister Begin told the Knesset that in his view, President Reagan's proposals are dead. Soon they'll be forgotten, he predicted, and Israel and the United States will continue to be friends. In a very rare occurrence in Israel's parliament, Begin paused in his Hebrew speech to speak directly to President Reagan.
I will stand by these positions with total dedication.
Begin said Israel will never accept a plan that would mean the partition of Eretz Yisrael, the historic land of Israel. As for the occupied territories, Begin pounded his fist. Judea, Samaria, and Gaza for the Jewish people for all generations. Begin announced he'll call elections for May or June of next year, 2.5 years ahead of schedule, to prove that he represents a majority in Israel. Begin also announced that Israeli warplanes today destroyed a battery of Syrian SAM-9 missiles in Lebanon and warned the Syrians to keep their missiles out. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Jerusalem.
At the Arab summit in Morocco, meanwhile, the Arab foreign ministers have reportedly agreed on a plan for Middle East peace, a plan which apparently draws upon President Reagan's proposal, among others.
The 800 U.S. Marines in the multinational force in Lebanon will be withdrawn by Friday morning, that according to a Marine spokesman. Some supplies have already been loaded to take out to 6th Fleet ships cruising off the coast, but the Marines remain ashore. The announcement of the planned withdrawal came only hours after the Lebanese prime minister was quoted as saying the multinational force should stay in Lebanon as long as Israeli troops remain. Now this.
Is this a good time to pick up bargains in cars, real estate, or the stock market? What's the safest, most profitable business to be in right now? And just how soon will the economy turn around? If you're asking tough questions like these, you'll profit from reading U.S. News and World Report, the magazine that helps you understand what's really going on in the world and how it affects you. With U.S. News, you'll get a clear, sharp overview of national and world affairs, plus down-to-earth advice from the experts on managing your money, cutting your taxes, protecting your health, and much more. And right now, you can profit from a special money-saving trial subscription offer and get 26 weeks of U.S. News for only $11.87. That's 35% off the regular rate, close to 70% off the newsstand price. So call now, 800-445-4500. Get 26 weeks of U.S. News at just $11.87, less than 46 cents a copy. 800-445-4500. Toll free, 800-445-4500, except in Nebraska.
U.N. Secretary General Perez de Cuellar has arrived in Moscow for talks with Soviet officials. Soviet President Brezhnev was not at the airport to greet Perez de Cuellar, who was accompanied by the U.N.'s envoy on Afghanistan. Mary Wisniewski reports.
The stalemate in which the Soviet Union finds itself in Afghanistan is expected to be on the agenda when Secretary General Perez de Cuellar sits down to talk with his Soviet host. Perez de Cuellar, who was Peru's ambassador to the Kremlin in the late 1960s, expects to meet with Soviet President Leonid Brezhnev and with Foreign Minister Andrei Gromyko during his five-day stay in Moscow. The official Soviet media have announced the visit, but so far have given no details about what meetings are planned for the Secretary General or what topics will be discussed. Among the issues the Soviet side is likely to bring up is the upcoming UN General Assembly session. In the past, the Soviets have been condemned at the General Assembly for their military intervention in Afghanistan. Mary Wisniewski for CBS News, Moscow.
An offer by the Polish government to send a squad of commandos to Bern, Switzerland was turned down by the Swiss government today. The Polish military regime had assembled the unit after the terrorists stormed the Polish embassy in Bern on Monday. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones average is up 3.95. Volume, 44,820,000 shares. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 918.23. Now this.
It's big.
It's timely.
It's Sears Fall Fix-Up Festival.
Now save 10 to 50% on selected storm doors, water heaters,
kitchen cabinets, weather stripping, and many other home improvement items.
Save $7 a gallon on weather beater flat exterior paint.
Save $6 a gallon on easy living satin flat interior.
Each $9.99.
Save 29 to 63% on selected Craftsman hand tools.
And lots more.
It's big.
It's timely.
Hurry to Sears Fall Fix-Up Festival.
Minimum savings nationally. Available at most Sears retail stores.
You can count on Sears.
Look what we've done with Ramada.
We've really changed.
We're filled with things that are new.
New rooms, new restaurants, and more.
Now we're classy, stylish, a special place. A delightful escape for you. Ramada, we've got a new world for you.
And still priced right. For confirmed reservations, call 800-228-2828. Ramada.
Ramada.
A state accounting office in West Germany has discovered that doctors working at state-run clinics have been padding their paychecks. Accounting office head Otto Rundell says he found it astonishing that the 1,800 doctors last year were paid $8 million in overtime. He found it even more astonishing that the payrolls had been approved by clinic directors. Most astonishing of all, says Rundell, some doctors even charged for work performed on February 30th and June 31st. Judy Muller, CBS News.